Chris.
Marcus.
We are back. It is a little parking awareness. You guys already know what to do. Follow us on Twitter, ALPA underscore QB1. Make sure you guys follow us on Instagram, ALPA underscore QB1. Make sure you guys follow us on Facebook, too, A Little Pocket Awareness on Facebook. Make sure you guys go check out us on iTunes, of course. If you're listening to this on iTunes, leave that review. Go ahead, subscribe to us there, too, as well. So, you know, we're giving you, all the quarterback stuff. You know what I mean? Like, somebody's making fun of me because I said I was quarterback obsessed. And I was like, I'm not like these guys who just say, you have to win with an elite quarterback or you cannot win football at all. I'm not one of those guys. But, you know, we like quarterbacks over here. So,
We like quarterbacks. That's the truth.
Yeah, we just don't overrate them.
We don't go insane. We don't say stupid things just to make you click on us. Like,
yeah, exactly. So this week, I mean, it's really not that much. You know, we usually give our Raiders and Packers updates, but I mean, Chris is still in limbo waiting for this quarterback to make a decision. He's trolling people, I guess, at the Phoenix Open.
The Phoenix Open, Waste Management Open. Mm-hmm. Marcus, I am going to be in town this weekend.
Oh, okay. Are you coming to town for that, huh?
I'm coming into town for the Open and the Super Bowl, of course. Oh.
Hey, man, that's what's up. But I mean, I can't get to the Open this year. But I don't know. Maybe I can sneak in there. Tell my dad.
I got some Sunday magic up my sleeve.
Okay.
I'm going to have a double whammy on that day.
Oh, you're doing the whole day there. You're going.
Well, down. I'm going for the morning. I got to make sure I get in front of a TV by 4:30 p.m.
Are you be okay by 4:30 if you go to the Waste Management Open?
Let's just say
Waste
the plan is like to have a.
I feel like they changed it to Waste, and that was a port name change.
Yeah. Let's just say I'll be having a very large breakfast, and the goal is to find a big lunch as well.
Okay.
And
okay,
we'll try and make it to kickoff.
I don't know. I feel like that Waste was put there on purpose. It was like, well, we could have Waste Management open us because everybody's wasted.
Listen, I got to make sure that I'm there for kickoff because – that is one of my prop bets for the Super Bowl this year.
Okay.
The over under for the national anthem.
Oh, at kickoff. Okay. Okay.
I think it's right now sitting at 1:38 for
who do you guys sing?
Our country singer here. It's I think her last name is Guyton, I think.
Okay.
I can't remember her first name off the top of my head. But
I'm going under. I'm going under.
See, there you go. See, I did some research. I found a YouTube video of her last national anthem performance in 2001.
Oh, wow.
And she cruised through it. That was 1:25. So I'm taking the under. She can have 5 seconds of liberty with how she's going to sing it and put it at 1:30, and I'll still get there by under 8 seconds. So my bet is the under, and the money is actually on the over. The line is saying over, but
I don't know. See, it's weird because couldn't she bet on herself and control it?
Man, she could. She 1,000% could.
I just put like $200,000 on myself.
No kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding. Whatever is going to give me the plus money. Last I saw it was plus 145 on the under. So.
All right. We got Super Bowl this week, guys. You already know. Rams versus Bengals, even though really nobody's talking about it. And if they are talking about it, they're just talking about how great Joe Burrow is. So,
yeah, they are.
I saw the Dan Marino one was what I had to say something on Twitter. I just like, whoa, this is the greatest second season ever.
Bro, people are getting wild, wild on the internet. Just absolutely wild.
But you know, we're going to talk about that a little bit too. You know, preview that game, talk about Stafford a little bit, talk about a little bit Joe Burrow. And, you know, give our little matchups and, you know, who we think is going to win the game. But first, you know, I came back from the Senior Bowl.
Marcus spent Senior some time Bowl. with those prospects, man.
Yeah.
You want that information? You got to come here.
Yeah, so, you know, we did some Senior Bowl grinding out there. Me and my man, Matt Holder. Shout out, Matt Holder. We did some Raider stuff, man. We got to talk to some Raider scouts a little bit. Got some little connects. I got some Oklahoma connects, man. If you guys drafts the Oklahoma guy, Chris, let me know. I'll give you that inside info. Okay. So I know Winfrey was killing it. So at the Senior Bowl, he had a good week. But you know, it's a quarterback show. So we'll talk about the quarterbacks that are there, because basically every quarterback is going to get drafted that's supposed to be high big time is a senior this year. Yeah, no,
and it's huge that you were there, because they're already scheduling their pro days all on the same day.
Really?
Yeah. Willis, Corral, and I think Pickett all have their pro days on the 24th, all the same day.
February 20th? March.
I think it's March. Okay. I think it's March, but that's they've been scheduled on the same day, and some scouts are not happy.
Yeah, why would they do that?
I don't get it.
Why would they do that for their own?
It's a detriment to the players, because they don't get the full range of scouts to be there to see them. It doesn't make sense. So maybe they're gonna reschedule.
Okay, you
know, because obviously it's just the beginning of February right now. Who knows? But as of right now, they're all expected to have a pro day on the same day. Those three.
That is crazy. That is they need new agents, I think. They're doing that.
They can't have them yet. This is on the schools.
Yeah.
I could see it being like see the schools trying to like one up each other.
Not even that. It could, because a lot of schools do have pro days on the same day. It's these guys aren't just that big of prospects where you just have that pro day for one of these guys. Like, I mean, I'm sure NFL scouts are mad about Corral, but how didn't he just like tear his knee up? Didn't he just do something really bad to himself?
Well, I didn't hear anything about that, but he wasn't there, was he?
No, he got injured in the bowl game.
Oh, in the game.
Yeah.
In the senior. Oh no, in their bowl game. Yeah, didn't
Sugar
he?
Bowl,
his,
yeah.
He told. I don't think he tore his ACL.
Yeah.
He strained his meniscus or something.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad, I guess they said.
That's right. I forgot. Wow, I forgot about. Why does it feel like that's forever ago?
I don't know, man. It's just. I don't know. It's been a slow year for me. I don't know. It's weird. Usually, it's a fast year. January is a very long.
Dude, January is the longest month ever. January is like 8 months, and the rest of the year is like 4.
I know, man. It's crazy. All right. But yeah, he hurt his knee, you know, enough where he couldn't go to the Senior Bowl and stuff like that.
That's
I don't know
right.
if he's going to go anyway.
I forgot about that.
But yeah, he wasn't there. But, you know, Bailey Zappe came in and took his place. Bailey Zappe from West Kentucky. but yeah, it was, for the quarterback, since this is a quarterback show, you know, we got to talk about the quarterbacks. I made sure to evaluate it, even though I know the Raiders aren't taking one. I mean, you know, Raiders fans, some Raiders fans want that. That would be ridiculous, to be honest, in my opinion. But hey,
agreed.
A couple of things. I'm just gonna go one by one by each quarterback. So,
all right.
Start off with Kenny Pickett. I thought Kenny Pickett had a really good week for himself. You know, I thought the first day he was probably the best quarterback in both sessions. Right, first day he was the best quarterback. And you know, he showed everything. He showed, you know, back shoulder throws. He's very accurate. You know, that's what I wanted to see from him, because I like this tape. I really do like his tape. I think he has first round tape.
He's got problems with his hands.
Yeah, I wanted to see him throw an NFL football in person. That was my whole goal. I'm like, what do you look like throwing an actual NFL football in person? He looked pretty good doing it. So obviously he's figured something out to do with that glove. I mean, it's going to worry you some, which comes to the second day. But like the first day, he was good. He was steady. You can tell he picks up offenses really quick. You can tell he's really smart going through his reads. He always made the right read when like some other guys weren't. He always did. Now, the second day, it rained a lot, Chris. Like,
did they
lot.
Move practice indoor?
No, they didn't.
Oh.
No, they didn't. I don't know if they did this on purpose or not, but they didn't. And it rained harder in his practice than it did the second one. So, I don't know if this is on purpose. Scott was like, no, we want to see him play in the rain. Like, we can move this.
Nope.
Watch it.
Stay outside.
And he had his issues. I'm not gonna lie. He had his issues in the rain. He did. He had. I mean, everybody did, but his were a little bit. You know, it's hard for me to say, but I mean, it's a thing. It's a thing that football gets slippery, man. It becomes a different type of thing for him to throw the football. Now, I mean, how much does it rain though? Right? How much do you play in rain games?
Yeah, and in the NFL, they do a pretty good job of keeping the ball dry.
Yeah.
And they keep subbing them out, so.
Yeah. And at first, I think he tried to show off a little bit. He tried to show NFL scouts. You know, what Teddy Bridgewater did was the stupidest thing, which is take off the glove. That's how Teddy Bridgewater moved. Teddy Bridgewater was going to go one. He got cocky. He took off his glove, and the ball's just
flying. Like,
and that's basically what happened to Kenny Pickett at the beginning of the practice. He took off
his glove. Was it the accuracy, or was he struggling to get it out of his hands?
Spiral. It wasn't spiraling like it was the first day. First day he had a nice spiral on it. Put the ball wherever he wanted to. The next day it was
a duck flying out there. Huh?
Little ducks a little bit.
I'll tell you what, throwing in the rain is so difficult.
I know. It is.
There's just something about the, like, if it's snowing, good. I would much rather play in the snow than in the rain. It just doesn't get as wet. Like, it almost made it, you grip it a little bit better. I don't know what that was about. It just like the way that the wetness on the football was. Yeah. Snow, it wasn't that big of a deal. But rain is miserable.
Miserable.
Absolutely miserable. That's one of the things I really struggled with personally, was throwing in the rain. Now, fortunately, I really never had to play a real game in a downpour.
Yeah.
But I had some practices in a downpour, and it wasn't pretty, I'll tell you that. Yeah, so I get it. It's not the easiest thing to do.
But my last thing I'll say about him is that, you know, what was really impressive about me, which I've rarely seen a quarterback do at Senior Bowl, is he was anticipating by week day three with guys he didn't know, anticipating where they're going to be at. But by day three, you know what I mean? Like, he's in the red zone portion of day three. They do a lot of red zone inside. And he was anticipating where those guys are at. Like,
Is it because they were fixed routes? They weren't choice routes?
I mean, well, he's running a lot of those West Coast offense choice routes. I mean, one of them was like on a hitch that was kind of like a stick to like the front.
Yeah,
of
but you can – so that's different, I think. With the West Coast offense, with the choice routes that they do, it's – I mean, everything with a choice route is the coverage, but it's a little bit more of a blatant, obvious kind of choice.
Yeah.
In a more West Coast offense type of feel than it is in some of these other professional type of offenses that they run. I think that when you're, because it's all outs and slants and ins and like, it's all the same route tree.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you know the combination of the three, they're going to be the same combination of the three every single time.
But to be fair, the other guys weren't doing it. I'm being fair. They weren't doing it, Chris. So, I mean, there's still something to it.
Sure.
That by day three that he's anticipating. And that's why he won quarterback of the week. He got voted quarterback of the week of the coaches. Now people are talking about he might go six to the Panthers. I thought that one might happen if he had a good week. If he went there and he showed that he was like a leader and picked up an offense really quick. Because that's really all you need to see. I mean, his tape is good. Like, yeah. I know people don't like him. You know, some people just try to knock him and they want to get the next quarterback I'm going to get to. But, I mean, his tape is good, man. He has good tape. I mean, his pocket presence is a little iffy, but it's he anticipates. He runs offense well. I think sometimes he bails a little too quickly. But, you know, he's a prospect. So, but he's
the
only guy.
Yeah, that's the case with all college kids, except for Lamar Jackson. He was the only guy that we watched or that we paid attention to that never bailed the pocket early in college.
Yeah. Yeah, but he has a lot of athleticism, especially on tape, that you wouldn't expect to see. And he's great on the run.
Slider. He's a fake slider, man. Yes.
So, to me, he's a first-round prospect. He's probably the only quarterback from tape that I gave a first round
grade. He's got a first-round grade for you.
Yeah, it's a low one, though.
Wow. Hold on. Is it like a 28, 29, 30 grade?
So my first round is 45 through 51. He's 45. So if that tells you anything.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, I'm going to get to more tape on some of these other guys, but we'll get to that. But I mean, it's based off tape and what he's looked at. And then especially if I'm going to raise his grade off of, what I saw the practice, I think he's definitely a first round guy in my opinion.
Okay.
And then the second guy, and we'll talk about, is Malik Willis, who I was kind of lower on going into it. I think I was like had him fourth or something like that on my rankings.
Ooh.
But I mean, he had a really good week. He fixed his mechanics, which I don't know how it's going to look in a game. But I mean, his mechanics look totally better. I mean, he's still heel clicking a little bit, but I mean, I don't know what the hell he was doing on tape. So it's just to watch him look like a quarterback and have a decent base was impressive, which shows me he's actually put some work in. And you know, with the rain, I talk about that. His best day was in the rain, which was crazy. He was just whistling that ball through the rain, bro. Like just it was his best day.
He had the most Twitter buzz of the entire week.
They love him on Twitter. I don't even worry about Twitter. They love him. They overrate him. But he his first day wasn't that great. I mean, he was airmailing some passes. But then the second day, he had a really good day in the rain. He was the only person, like, he was super accurate, best day. He tells mechanics will work. I mean, the last day, he did pretty good, too. I liked how he picked up the offense quick. Like, you know, the other two guys that he worked out with are on his side because it was Carson Strong, Desmond Ridder, and Pickett. And then you had Zappe, Hal, and Willis. And out of his group, he was the only one going through reads and stuff. So it tells me that he's smart. Oh. He can pick up things. Yeah. He was picking it up the offense really well. And I think that's why he won quarterback of the week over there on that side, because mm-hmm. he picked the offense. So I think that's going to help him in the long run because, you have some issues, but I can throw things at you and you can mentally pick them up and you can go apply them on the practice field quickly. And I think that, you know, a lot of people, when they scout, especially when I went out there and how much I learned offense and stuff, that's what I was looking for. I don't give a damn how you throw. I mean, you're here. You probably can throw the damn football. I mean, let's keep it real. I want to see how you can pick up what they're installing with you. Like, how do you pick it up? You know what I mean? Like, how fast are you, you know, is it quick? Is it something you're staring at things too much? Are you still unsure of yourself by day three? That's what I'm looking at. But I thought that I was impressed with him. I was.
He's getting picked as the number one quarterback in some mock drafts to go six to the Panthers. Ridiculous. I'm seeing that.
That's not had to happen. I'm sorry. I think he might go one. If I had to choose two guys who went one, it would be Pickett and Willis, because I think they're probably the only guys that maybe. I mean, I wouldn't take Willis one. This is me, but I could see somebody like in the back end, like trading into the first round to take him. Mm-hmm. So. I could see something like that, but I wouldn't give him like a first round grade or anything like that. He's just the mechanics are just so awful. You know, Josh Allen had bad mechanics, but you know, every once in a while he had a good base. There it is. You know, every once in a while you saw like, you know what? If he just did that every single time, like Willis is not, you never see a good base or anything on tape. I just call him a baller. He's just on tape. He's just balling. I mean, he's not even playing quarterback. He's just balling.
Yeah.
So somebody has to teach him how to play quarterback. And that was my whole worry, but he looked like he was getting it down. So I was happy about that. But I don't know. Your thoughts, Chris?
I can't disagree with what you're saying at all, Marcus.
Yeah.
The kid is probably the best athlete of all the quarterbacks in this class. Mm-hmm. His arm was all the talk on social media.
Yeah.
I think he's going to end up going in the first round for sure, just because that's the way the NFL is. I at this point in time believe that there are going to be four guys drafted in the first round. I think there's four, because one of the guys you're going to talk about with his Senior Bowl performance is sneaking into the first round.
I don't know. Are you talking about Sam Howell? You want to get to Sam Howell?
I'm sure Sam's next on your list, but that's not the guy I'm talking about. But he's going to get first round because of all of his hype from college, and he's going to have a huge pro day. He's going to be he's the next Drew Locke. He's the next, who else do we group in Drew Locke?
I got a hot take for you on Sam Howell. I think Sam Howell goes day three.
You think he's going to drop that far?
Mm-hmm. I think he's going day three. He had a bad week. He did. He had a bad week. I don't think he had a good day at all. Maybe the red zone day he did, but he didn't. He could not pick up that offense at all, man. He was struggling. That's what I'm talking about. Like, he couldn't pick it up. So it's like, dog, it's day two, man. Like, what are you doing?
Jump right into him. Let's go. Right? Tell me about how.
So, how has his little mechanical issues too? He wasn't very accurate all week. He didn't show a lot of accuracy, you know, because basically what happened is he couldn't just go one read and start running like he ran for 800 yards this year. But when he got in the game on Saturday, he was just running and he was making plays. And yeah, he could play football. Cool. But what about quarterback, bro? We want you to come in and play quarterback for us a little bit too. And, you know, if we want a football player, you know, we want him to play quarterback as well. And you weren't playing quarterback well all week. You know, he got outplayed by Bailey Zappe. That's what I'm talking about. Like, so what are we looking at? And he's the same height as him. I mean, he has a bigger arm for sure. But I mean, they're the same height and he outplayed you. And so what are you doing in front of NFL scouts? You didn't have a great year this year to go back on, be like, oh, okay, he has great tape throwing the football.
Right.
You know, he has to go all the way back to his junior year when he's playing with he's playing with a second round running back and a fourth round running back and a second round wide receiver, you know? So
I don't even think he had a good year that year either.
No, not really.
But the hype machine just was pumping.
Yeah, because North Carolina didn't do what they were supposed to do. You know, they didn't, you know, especially last year. I mean, they lost some games they shouldn't have lost.
Oh, yeah.
So to me, I don't know. I think he's a day three guy. And I think a lot of people on Twitter who like him a lot are going to be upset, especially like PFF, who has him quarterback one. They're going to be mad. They're going to give somebody a grade A-plus grade in the fourth round for taking him. Our number one graded quarterback went in the fourth round.
Oh, you are not wrong. They are 1,000% going to do that. That is exactly
A grade.
No, he's going to go in the third round, and they're going to compare him to Russell Wilson.
Yep. But he didn't have a good week, man. Russell Wilson had an awesome Senior Bowl, so you can't compare him.
Yeah, no. And I mean, yeah, Russ was different. Yeah, Russ was way different.
Yeah, bro. And Russ, you know, he played in Wisconsin. He played a pro style system. It was easy for him to transition. You know, same how he played in these little RPO systems where like they have three guys like lined up outside the numbers stacked against each other.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. So he was lost. So that's why it's like, I don't know, bro. He's day three. He's a day three guy. Round four, maybe you get drafted by like, you know, the Patriots or something. I don't know. Wow. Play backup.
Wow.
And then, of course, Desmond Ridder. He went out there. Is that you talking about Desmond Ridder?
That's the name.
And Desmond Ridder is hot on Twitter. I know a lot of people like him. But, a lot of the bigger Twitter guys like Desmond Ridder. But his week was iffy.
Yeah.
It was a little iffy. He had the same problem I was talking about, like picking up the offense. What bothered me about him, though, the most is that he ran that offense in college. So, like, come on, man. You know these sticks and you know these choice routes and stuff. You did them in college. You ran the West Coast out of a spread. So, you know, it was interesting with him. But, you know, by day three, he was fine. So I don't know if he was just, like, nervous or confused, which could have been a part of it, too. He could have just been nervous. But, you know, I liked his Notre Dame game, but I haven't gotten to more of his tape to kind of grade him. Mm-hmm. I know he's missed a lot of reads that I've seen, even from like that game. And he's in the fourth year of his in that being in that offense.
Yeah, he stayed and didn't he start all 4 years too?
Yeah, he's in the same offense. He's still missing
reads.
Yeah, you know. So, but he's super athletic. He's 6'4, but he's like 205, bro. 6'4, 205.
Well, you got a problem with tall, skinny guys?
Yeah, but then play quarterback in the NFL, Chris.
You're saying that only works in college?
Yeah, only works in college. Only works in college with the corners 172. You know, he can't do that hard. You know, Desmond Ridder. You know, he's impressive. Like, as kind of just the way he runs the offense of college, you could tell that he was like, you know, he's not a runner. He's not trying to run, but he's super athletic. He likes to play in the pocket. There's a lot of things I like about him when he has his mechanics straight. But he always starts the game off with the worst mechanics I've ever seen. So I don't understand what that is about. And I noticed that when this dude, Nate Tice.
Dude, that could totally be it. Like, the kid's just got nerves galore, and it takes him a moment to settle in.
He's awesome in the fourth quarter, bro. It's ridiculous.
I bet you that's exactly what it is. Like, he's fuzzy at the beginning of a game, man, and it just takes him time to lock in.
He made like the four of his best throws I've seen on tape for him, like ever against Notre Dame in the fourth quarter to close that game out. I'm like, who? I was watching the game, like, where did this come? Where did this guy come from? Yeah. So he's obviously got a little bit of a clutch sheet in him. So, you know, he turns it on when he needs to turn it on. But, you know, those guys are so hard to scout because I don't know which one am I going to get.
Well, who are you going to get? Yeah.
So do I put you on a defensive team and then you just so we can get you to the fourth? And
yeah,
then
you start get you balling? To the fourth quarter, still be in the game. Yeah, dude.
So it's interesting to see how he works. But I mean, there's more buzz on Twitter about him than the NFL. I think he's a day two guy. But I'll wrap up real quick these other two because we get the Super Bowl. But we got Carson Strong, who I thought he had a good week, but he can't move. So
he's stuck back there, huh?
Yeah, me and friend Matt were laughing one time. He tried to step up in the pocket. It was like the
oh no. It's just slow. Did it just take him forever? Is that what it was?
Yeah, it was just slow, man. It was crazy in slow motion. It was pretty hilarious. But you know, he had some good throws in the one-on-one portions, but he wasn't that good when they went 11-11. And of course, it's Bailey Zappi. He looks like just a good backup, man. You know, yeah, right day, but nothing special.
This is one of the worst quarterback classes.
Oh, it is.
We've had in a long time.
Oh, it sucks because every time I watch Bryce Young, I'm like, oh my god, these quarterbacks are terrible. Every time I watch an Alabama receiver on tape, and Bryce Young's just throwing bullets to him. Looking like a first-round quarterback.
Bryce and CJ. That's the next.
Yeah, Bryce Young's good in the fourth quarter, too. Man, he made some nuts throws that Auburn drive. Whew. Because clutch as hell. All right.
I gotta say, Marcus, that there should not be a single quarterback drafted in the first round this year. Not
probably,
one.
Probably not.
Because there's a lot of talent. There's a lot of talent at a lot of other positions. I'm sorry.
I think Pickett should be. Because I think Pickett's going to be a good quarterback in the NFL. Just, I don't know. Like, what's his ceiling? That's what you're got to ask yourself. What is his ceiling? You know? And you're going to need – I mean, you're going to need some – you know, you're going to need to put some players around him, right? So what is his ceiling? What is that going to look like? And that's what you have to decide with him. Because, you know, with these quarterbacks, when you draft them, now these days you got to decide in three –
Yeah, you giving him another? Are you giving him another contract? I can't hear you anymore. I lost you. Oh, I can hear your mouse now.
All right, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I got right, you back.
Oh, God damn it! All right, let me get this. This doesn't move anymore. Okay. All right, but yeah, I mean, with these quarterbacks, I mean, you have to pay them $50 million, man. So if you,
yeah,
but you're gonna draft Kenny Pickett, like, are you gonna pay him $50 million? I guess it's kind of how I look at quarterbacks, because I mean, like, you know, before he was Super Bowl, I mean, Kyler Murray erased all his stuff.
Yeah, he's not got a single thing on his Instagram about the Cardinals.
And you know why that is, right?
Because he's gonna go play baseball.
No. Well, that, yes. But it's probably his threat. I bet this is threat, though. I bet this is threat. He wants to get paid.
Yeah, pay me or I go and play for the Athletics. Pay me my baseball money in the NFL.
Which, I mean, on Spoiled Track, his market value is $43 million. That's what he's supposed to be getting, which I think is nuts to get.
Ridiculous.
Oh my god!
Like, absolutely ridiculous.
What is he? And like Raider fans are like, "Don't pick R 31." And I'm like, "I mean, you're a bargain.
A bargain. You know, I'm praying that Aaron Rodgers decides he's going to go the team friendly so that he can keep that roster around him.
Yeah,
a veteran minimum is $1.2 million.
Oh yeah.
If he goes that route, his cap hit is 26.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I would die. You know why, though?
Yeah.
Because Bakhtiari's cap hit's going to be 29 after they restructure him.
Oh, wow.
That doesn't even talk about Kenny Clark. It's a mess.
The Packers don't have a lot of money, huh? Is that what it is?
Nothing. Zero. Yes. They got to restructure every contract that they have. Kenny Clark, Bakhtiari, Aaron Jones. They got to restructure everybody to then be able to – You know, if they decide that they have to pay Aaron Rodgers Forget it. If they're going to trade him, that's still a problem. We're going to carry 46 mil as his cap number. So it's an absolute monster of a mess.
Yeah. But that's what happens when you don't have a lot of cash as a team. Because Jerry Jones doesn't have that problem. He just, all right, I'll just give you 46 mil. And then...
Well, he did that. He gave his quarterback that kind of money.
I'll give you 46 mil in a signing bonus, and then we'll take that dead cap.
He did exactly that. And his quarterback ran one play in 14 seconds and lost the game, where Patrick Mahomes ran three plays in 13 seconds and got himself a field goal.
Kyler wants more money than Dak, and he hasn't done anything that Dak has done. Nothing. He wants more money than Dak. You know, it's crazy.
Don't you see me running around back there and just throwing jump balls all day long?
Look how entertaining I am.
I'm the reason.
I put people in seats.
I'm the reason.
Look how entertaining I am. Everybody online thinks I'm top 10 because they like to watch me run around in circles. Everybody thinks I'm top 10. Some people think I'm top 5. I'm worth the money. We're like, well, you have a losing record.
Deshaun's coming. Watson's coming back next season. Not Watson. Hopkins. Hopkins is coming back next season, right? Oh, easy. We can do the same thing next year. I'll run around. I'll throw it up.
I'm worth 45, man. I haven't done anything.
Dude, we're going to go 8-0. Guaranteed.
It's crazy. I mean, it
we don't have to play the Packers again at home, right? No?
It's funny. Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
It's hilarious because Cardinals fans, man, they are in debate about it. The smart ones, the smart fans, they think they're like, you got to pay him. Like, use your brain, bro. Like, actually watch him play. Like, but that's the thing. Like,
go and draft Kenny Pickett.
Like, why is he so, like, not criticized at all? Like, why are we the only people that criticize him, Chris? I feel like we're alone.
We are definitely alone.
Why? He's not that. It's like, what has he done? And like,
he runs fast and he throws great jump balls to one of the top three wide receivers in the NFL who always come. He came down with a jump ball in triple coverage. The man came down with the football and he had three men attached to him the entire time. I'll throw jump balls to him too.
I just don't get it. I don't get it. I do not get it. I literally feel like I'm alone sometimes in criticizing him. You know,
this is my season for my prediction for him and Cliff. My narrative is coming full circle.
You think he's gonna miss the
playoffs? My narrative. I can't wait to reference our podcast from 2-3 seasons ago when Steve Keim hired Cliff Kingsbury and they drafted Kyler Murray with the number one pick. And the ranting and raving that I did when that all went down, I cannot wait. I want to reference that in the worst way.
I just don't get why nobody criticizes him. He just had like one of the worst playoff performances you can see. And I see like normal fans put him like top 6. What are we watching? Like, what are we looking at?
Dude, don't even get me started with the top 10s. Don't even get me started with the top 10s. With all the amazing quarterbacks that we have lost over the course of the last 3 seasons, 4 seasons. The top 10 is – they shifted everybody from 15 to 20 into the top 10.
It's a list of who's the most entertaining.
You've nailed it. You've 100% nailed it.
Who entertains me the most? So I'm going to start with Patrick Mahomes. He entertains me a lot. Josh Allen. I like how he runs around.
I like that. Burrow, he's really good at smoking cigars.
Bro.
Gotta put him in there.
You see his clothes? Really cool clothes. Like Burrow.
Justin Herbert, regular season machine. Has he played a playoff game? No, but that's okay. He's in the top 5.
Yeah, he's top 5. Yeah. I saw somebody put Justin Herbert in tier 1. And I'm like, really?
Dude, bro? it's going to be ridiculous.
Russell Wilson?
It's going to be ridiculous. It's going to be so bad. Tier 1 is literally Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson. That's it. That's tier 1.
I mean, I might sneak Josh Allen in there. You disagree.
He's on the bubble.
He's got his foot. He's got his foot in there.
He's got his foot. He's dipping his toe in the pool. All right? He's dipping his toe in the pool.
All right. Let's get a Super Bowl, Chris. We had a little side note on Kyler Murray. I just had to bring that up. I forgot about that. Kyler Murray is holding out for 43 mil. So, Super Bowl is here, Chris. We got Rams versus Bengals. This is probably the worst Super Bowl ever. I even saw my dude Football Perspective. He put that out there. How this is the worst Super Bowl between like two worst winning percentages of all time. So, I mean, technically in this game, the Rams should just beat the brakes off them. That's what should happen.
That's what should happen. We talked about two AFC playoff games that should have gone that way, and they didn't. Mm-hmm. We talked about, I don't even think we even considered the Rams as serious, legitimate Super Bowl contenders until, you know, some teams made fools of themselves. My Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, man. But as I'm saying, the Rams should run a wave with this game because they are the way better team.
Yeah.
You know, the Bengals are just like a magical. I don't know if it's like a Cardinals run. That's what I'm saying. Like, are they about to have like a heartbreaker to Matthew Stafford?
I gotta shout out my brother, man. He is just dying for me to have to eat my words. He's just absolutely dying for me to eat my words on Joe Burrow. He's just, why do you guys not like him so much? Why?
It's not that. Because I had to put this on Twitter. I mean, we were super high on him coming out, Chris. How high were we on him coming out?
Number one prospect.
Yeah, so we were like, oh my God, he's going to be great. It's just like they're crowning him for not doing anything.
Like we got the criticism about his arm strength.
That's a thing. Like, you saw that ball die in Kansas City and the guy picked it off. It's still a thing.
Yeah,
he's just a gutsy gamer.
He's definitely a gamer, but I'm not going to crown the guy. And here's why. You ready? I'm going to break it down for you.
Okay.
Did the Bengals win the game against the Raiders? Or did the Raiders give it away?
The Raiders gave the game away, for sure.
Did the Bengals win the game against the Titans? Or did the Titans give it away? Titans gave it away. Three interceptions by Ryan Tannehill. The decision to throw the ball at the goal line after you just ran 10 straight run plays for 75, 80 yards to get inside the 10-yard line. What are you doing? What kind of a decision is that? Ryan Tannehill's thrown two interceptions. You gave him an opportunity to throw another one. Or I think it was just one at that point, and that was the second interception. But what are you doing? So, yeah, the Bengals, I don't think they won that game. I think the Titans choked it away. We know for a fact – but the Chiefs choked that one away.
They did. Even though I will say, for the Bengals' sake, I think the Bengals' defense won that game. So I think the Bengals' defense made them.
No, I'm going with the Chiefs choking that away, because I'm sorry, when the entire second half they were rushing three guys and dropping eight, and you're going to continue to throw the ball into that. What are you doing? It's not like you don't have running backs that are not capable. Like, you've got three guys in that backfield that are capable of running the football, especially against a three-man front. Run the damn ball. What is that?
Like, a lot. You're up 21 to 10, Chris.
You're up 21. I can't. I that just drove me absolutely insane. And it does one thing for me. There's a conversation that's going on right now in the NFL about the lack of minorities as head coaches. Mm-hmm. It's a valid conversation to have. But when you're having epic meltdowns like that on an offense where the head coach is already known to be an offensive mastermind, is Bieniemy actually a good offensive coordinator? Is he really a head coach candidate after the way that played out? After the way that I don't know if he's the legitimate like number one candidate to become a new head coach.
You know,
and maybe he's had 29 interviews, and you're going to tell me the sole reason of those 29 interviews is because of the color of his skin?
Now, with Eric Bieniemy, is different, okay?
And that's I'm using him as an example for what he's been through. Yes, it's a valid conversation we had, but are there red flags in those conversations, and we're seeing it play out on the football field in the AFC Championship game?
Yeah, I would say with Eric Bieniemy, he has some red flags, but I think when you're black, I think some of your red flags get accentuated a little bit.
I can absolutely understand that.
So his red flags get accentuated a little bit. But I will say this. I mean, there's a lot of track record why he might not be getting a job besides that. I mean, Matt Nagy.
Adam Gase.
I mean, well, not even like Adam Gase. I mean, Adam Gase is from like, you can go to Josh McDaniels. Actually, Adam Gase did. But like
Matt. Oh, you're saying the Andy Reid
tree. Yeah, the Andy Reid tree. I mean, which is actually not bad. I mean, it's more better on the defensive side than it is sure. on the offensive side. You know, you got Doug Peterson who won a Super Bowl, but as soon as Frank Reich left, he boom, boom. So just exploded. So on him, I mean, I know he made the playoffs a few times after that, but I mean, it wasn't as they were like 9-7 both those times and snuck in. But you know, with him, and so that might a little bit to do with Eric Bieniemy, a little bit. But I also think that you know, it's tough with the minor league coach thing because you know, to me, there's a lot of black GMs, and I feel like
wasn't it three GM positions that were available this year, and they all went to minorities.
Yeah, and then you know they didn't hire anybody either. So like, who are we living? You know, it's tough for me sometimes to do that because you know I guess it's kind of like if you're in that position, I think you have a little more control if you're really bothered by that. You know, sure. if it really is bothering you like that, or you feel like that's an initiative you need to worry about, nobody really asked him about it. You know, so it's just an interesting dynamic with that. But you know, with Eric Bieniemy, you know, it's his history and a lot of things that went on with that. That's why he's not getting it. Those interviews, those chances. But I will say with
them, he's getting the chances, man. He 29 interviews.
Yeah, that's a lot of interviews.
That's a lot of interviews.
Yeah, but like with the with Andy Reid, I would say, I mean, what he did was a fireable offense. I think that was very fireable. I was really
that was bad.
But no, see the thing is not that it's bad. And we're not even talking about the Super Bowl anymore, we're talking about the Chiefs now. But you know what I talk about when it's bad.
I did send this on a tangent, didn't I?
Yeah. What I talk about when it's bad is that I mean this has happened three times. Where he's been a Chiefs coach, 21-3 against the Titans, 38-10 against the Colts, and 21-3 against the Bengals. Three times. That's a streak.
Don't forget they were down 24-0 to the Texans. What, yeah, 2 years ago?
See, that's the thing with Andy Reid. I think he just got bailed up by Patrick Mahomes once. I think Patrick Mahomes had a magical run and bailed him out, kind of like Mike McCarthy. It's the same thing. You know, Mike McCarthy is the genius. You know, so that's how it works, man. But you know, yeah, you're lucky. I mean, Joe Burrow, he's getting all the love, but you know,
he's getting some love. He's not getting it from us.
That's my thing with it. It's just too much love.
The Bengals, in my opinion, they did a great job of taking what the situation was and playing. And that's where I'll give Joe props. Like he was put in a scenario where his team is still alive and in this game in three straight playoff games.
Yeah.
And he was able to control what was put in front of him. So that his team would come out for the win. So I'll give him that. I'll give him in those situations, he played and did what he needed to do to make sure his team advanced.
Yeah. And I mean, that's really all the quarterback has to do. That's the thing. But you don't have to call him elite because of that. I mean, that's what you should do. If your defense is playing well, you keep yourself in the game, which he did try to throw it away, though. I'm not going to lie. If Nick Bolton don't drop that interception, would he slide on the sideline? We're Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I mean,
well, and on the other side of the ball, Matt Stafford tried to throw it away. You're staring at a safety who literally is trying to catch a punt because that's how bad of a ball it was down the middle of the field. Zero business putting that ball in the air. So you got two quarterbacks that really, you know, almost tried to give their games away and ended up playing in the Super Bowl.
I know. I think it's going to be a good game because, like I said, I think it's either going to be a good game or the Bengals just get blown out of the place. It's either
you know why it'll be a good game?
Yeah.
Because Matthew Stafford will try and throw it away.
See, all right, let's talk about Stafford. I'm going to talk about Stafford here, Chris. We're going to get into his career because this is a legacy moment for him. Let's keep it real.
It's the legacy moment.
We're in the legacy. That's what we're talking about, Joe Burrow. This hasn't been talked about all week, which I think is weird. Like, this has not been talked about all week, how big of a game this is for Matthew Stafford's career. And I get it, you know, Joe Burrow's a young, cool guy. We hate these old, you know, 33-year-old quarterbacks who can't run. You aren't exciting. They're boring. I get it. But like, man, like, we're at a point with him, right, that he is playing for his legacy. Because, like, what happens from here, right? Like, let's say he wins. He's still on a really good team going forward. We don't know what happens from here. You know,
well, they're gonna be in a very similar position with the way that their roster's built and the cap situation as the Packers. They don't have a first round pick for the next two, maybe three seasons.
So they'll give up 2024 and 2025 for some good player.
Yeah, I think 2024 might even be gone too.
It might be. All right, so you know, I'm just gonna pull up the all time numbers here, Chris. Okay. And I know you're like, what are you doing, Marcus? Don't do this. Don't do this. But I'm going to do it. I'm doing it. We're going here.
Hey, I'm not going to hit you with the don't do this because I think you're right, Marcus. This is a very important moment in his career.
Huge. Because like, I was even like trying to look at this and try to see it myself. But then
you stumbled upon it?
I stumbled upon it. Okay. So
this is the stumble upon it Super Bowl.
He's 12th all-time in yards, Chris, right now. Okay? He's 49, 460. He's about 2,000 yards away from passing John Elway. Okay? Wow. So he's about to pass John Elway, right, on less passing attempts.
Wow. Right? On okay? less passing attempts.
Uh-huh, on less passing attempts. He has more touchdowns than John Elway already. He has 317. He's 12th all-time in touchdowns. All time, Matthew Stafford. All right. What else? You know, what else got? You know, I mean, he's still on
picks. A right. Super Bowl puts him in the Hall of Fame.
Maybe. So I think some people are still going to try to keep him out because he has a losing record, right? He's 47. He's 85 and 93. I mean, he went 12-5 this year. So imagine what it was before that. you know what I mean? But you know what I'm saying? Like his YPA is a little lower. I mean, it's better than it was before. I mean, it's passer rating all the time. You really don't want to use that because it's kind of weird, you know, how it's measured. But I mean, he has the yards. He's gonna catch Phillip Rivers probably by the time he retires, which 420. He's gonna pass Ben Roethlisberger probably. I could see him throwing another 100 touchdowns. If he wins Super Bowl, bro, it's gonna
put a jacket on him.
You know? Oh,
wow. And, I mean, it does so much for his legacy. If he can win the Super Bowl in his first year where he's not on the Lions.
Right?
Like, man. It's already one thing where he's in the Super Bowl. Like, he gets a little bit of relief. We can't kill him like we did all season long about his record against winning teams after, you know, he got himself to a Super Bowl. We can't play that card anymore.
I know, man. We can't do that with him. He's broke the curse for himself, you know. But I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like,
the man can put a jacket on his shoulders.
He's playing for his damn legacy. That's wow. What he's playing for. That's what I don't think he's going out like that. Like, even if they go down like 20-7, I think he's gonna turn it on, and he's gonna like, I'm not losing this game. That's why this game's tough for me to pick, but. I do want to say that Matt Ryan not getting the Hall of Fame is going to be, if he doesn't get in the Hall of Fame, it's going to be awful because he's about to do the same thing. He's got 59,000 yards. He's at 367 touchdowns. He made the playoffs six times.
Only one, that one Super Bowl appearance.
Yeah.
If he didn't get Tom Brady, you can put that jacket on him.
you know, it's funny. Like, people try to like promote like this thing called EPA. I know you've seen it, Chris, EPA.
Yeah,
people try to promote that, right? Like hardcore with like the, and they try to use it to say defense doesn't matter. And the funniest part of it is like they try to show like all the Super Bowl teams that made it. And like they're like, oh, see, you don't have to have a top 10 defense to make the Super Bowl. Main word, make. And the number one team in EPA was the 2016 Falcons. They were also below 20th in EPA, and they played a team that was top 10 in both. So guess what happened when you went up 28-3? The team with the defense that was top 10 EPA started stopping you. And then the team with the top 10 offense in EPA started scoring.
Uh-huh.
And then you couldn't stop them because your defense wasn't good at EPA. And then they were stopping you. You know, like, this is
– Oh, yeah.
It's football, guys.
Yeah.
Sometimes, anyways. All right. Back to, enough of the legacy with Joe Burrow. No, sorry, with Matthew Stafford, which I think this is going to be a game. That's how big of a game is for him. Joe Burrow, you know, he's already been crowned, so I don't know what's going on with him. I mean, people are trying to say he's better than Mahomes, which I've...
Dude, I can't handle the conversation about Joe Burrow. Not even in the slightest. Like, him winning a Super Bowl would be a detriment to the quarterback conversation because his name's just going to get thrown around like crazy, and he's going to get crowned elite, and he's going to be put in a tier one. Like, I am pulling for Matthew Stafford. My pick for the Super Bowl is the Rams. And yeah. I'm done with the Burrow game. The Bengals are there because situationally the other teams threw the game away. Your Raiders, Tannehill's Titans, Andy Reid's.
True. It's so true.
Chiefs. All three of those teams threw away their playoff game. And the Bengals capitalized on the poor performances by those other teams and got themselves into the Super Bowl.
But the thing is with this game, I don't trust Sean McVay.
I don't trust Matthew Stafford.
I know you don't. But I trust Matthew Stafford more than I do Sean. I think Stafford.
I trust Von Miller and Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. That's who I trust.
See, it's going to be an interesting matchup. It's going to be interesting. Because I don't think he's going to throw – I think he's going to just throw to Higgins all game. Because why wouldn't he do that?
He should.
That's what he did against the Chiefs. That's how they're able to move the football. He's got two guys. That's the thing.
You know what kills me in this entire conversation?
Yeah.
Ja'Marr Chase is getting tons and tons and tons of eyes on him, as he should. He had a phenomenal year. Higgins, he might not be putting the numbers up, but that man's capable.
Yes, he is.
That man is capable. And then we forget about Tyler Boyd.
I know.
Who was the reason that they got rid of A.J. Green.
Yeah.
They didn't pay A.J. Green because Tyler Boyd is the guy that they decided to go with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so that's just impressive. And the running, I mean, Mixon's he's no joke.
Yeah.
So.
You got weapons. I mean, he has a bad line, but, you know, I always feel like in today's game that you can get away with having a bad line if you got some damn good receivers. They get open
quick. If they win and they win quickly, it doesn't matter what the O-line is. It's exactly. A problem when they can't get off the line.
Which I think is going to be the problem in this game because, you know, every time he plays these bracket man match coverage teams, he struggles because you have to hold the ball a little longer playing zone. You can't just, you know, and once Burrow doesn't – Burrow. Since that's the thing with Burrow, too, is that we're calling him Tom Brady, and he's Russell Wilson. That's what he is. He's really what he is. He's Russell Wilson. He is – If my first read's not there, I'm making the biggest play possible. If I take a sack, that's cool.
He took nine against.
Yeah, he doesn't care
against the Titans. Nine sacks.
Chris, he literally said in an interview that he's okay with taking sacks. He doesn't care. He doesn't care what his sack numbers are. I don't care. I'm not turning the ball over. Whatever. So he doesn't care about taking sacks. He thinks they're cool. It's all right, man. Go ahead, hit me. He thinks maybe gets him in the game. Maybe gets him psyched up. I don't know. But he likes getting sacked. but that's the thing with me. Like, you know, he plays like Russell. He's literally Russell Wilson, bro. That's literally what he is. And
I'm interested to see how he plays and if he tightens up because it's the Super Bowl. This is a really young team. This is a really young team playing in the Super Bowl.
And
there's a lot of vets on the other side of the ball. And Von Miller, not only playing in the Super Bowl, but being a Super Bowl MVP – he's going to keep those guys loose.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Make sure you guys check us out on Twitter at ALPA_QB1. Make sure you guys hit us on Instagram, ALPA_QB1. Make sure you guys find us on Facebook, A Little Pocket Awareness. Follow us there. Make sure you follow Chris at King Manelos. Follow me at The Mark John NFL. And then make sure you guys hit the subscribe button on iTunes. And then go ahead and download on Spotify. We are out. ALPA.